I'm going to sing you my homily. No, he who sings prays twice, and that's why we pray these presiding prayers and proclaim the gospel with song. It adds a dignity and solemnity as we begin this first Sunday of Advent. Get ready. Get ready. The Lord gives us this injunction. The gospel ends, watch. And he's telling us, be watchful, be alert. And we have this season of Advent. We use it to prepare for Christmas, the nativity, the season in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And our mind turns to decorations, both within the church, but also of our homes, a festive season. There's much busyness, gifts, and office parties and family gatherings, and becomes quite an occupied period of time for us. Advent is not principally a time for getting to Target or Best Buy or whatever other big box store for Black Friday or now even Brown Thursday, which we used to call Thanksgiving. I think that was the old name for it. And we have this term, Advent, Adventus, advenire in Latin, to come, to arrive. And in Greek, the word is parousia, right? The second coming of Jesus. And we are actually, as we prepare in Advent for a coming, it is not for the first coming of Jesus. It is not for his birth. That has happened. We look to the end times, the eschaton, they say in Greek. We look to his second coming. Did you know that we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus? Now you know it, right? I've told you. So, we have this beautiful reading from Isaiah of expectation on the part of the people of Israel. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. Why do you let us wander? Return for the sake of your servants. There is that longing of Israel for God. And God, we have said throughout the retreat, longs for his people. He longs for us. And the psalmist repeats that for us. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face. We shall be saved. We desire for the Lord's countenance to fall upon us, and also that we might see him and know him. And thanks be to God for it. So it's mirrored there in the psalmist, that desire for God. I wanted to mention something, if I might, just about this letter from St. Paul. And he begins with a very formulaic beginning. This is the way that they say a Greek letter, a Hellenistic letter, would be written. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always on your account. Now, I think through the course of the retreat, you've come to know that I myself enjoy to speak somewhat formally and to play with the vocabulary. And this is actually how I would talk at the dinner table, except my brother Jesuits would then throw croutons or other breadcrumbs or something at me, probably. But Paul has this marvelous way of expressing the love. Thanks to my God, always on your account. We pray for each other this way. Then this theme is continued into the gospel. And we have this reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, in which Jesus instructs us to be watchful, to be alert. Now, commentators on the scriptures have a nice turn of the phrase on this. They say, Jesus lived in an era of messianic expectation, It's hopeful. It's looking forward. They desired the Holy One, the Anointed One, Davidic successor, to come to them. And this was part of the worldview. And there's a beautiful piece of Jewish literature I once read. It was sort of poetic. Messiah, though you might tarry, Messiah, though you might tarry, we are assured that you'll be coming. We are not good at waiting as a people in this modern age, in an era of expectation, perhaps, but we live in an era of instant gratification, really. And we do not like to sit still, and we want it now. And we can buy things online with one click, and they arrive within a day or three if we want them. We are not used to waiting years or decades or even a millennia. And yet, I talked to you about Teilhard's words that he says, we must trust in that slow, patient work of God. And that's part of this messianic expectation. It's the slow, patient work of God. Israel expected a Messiah. And we think to this beautiful messianic prophecy, right? A shoot shall arise from the stump of Jesse, and from its branches a bud shall blossom. And what do we know from the prophets about this Messiah? The Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and strength and knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And we are told that faithfulness is a belt upon his waist, and that justice is a band upon his hips. Justice. And the prophet tells us that the Lord will do justice upon the poor. And I think that brings us back to this watchful alertness. The Lord says, be ready for the second coming. And we have to be ready always for the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, or the bad place. And although the Lord assures us there is a judgment that's coming, he talks about it often. He himself in the scriptures here warns us to be ready for his coming. But we know also at the same time, he is merciful. He is a merciful judge. He is, at the end, we will encounter not one who is just, but who is a both and. He is just and merciful. We had that great year of mercy 2 years ago in which we emphasized that character of Jesus, the one who does justice, but a merciful justice. We look forward to his coming. We prepare ourselves. We are watchful. We are alert. And we hope to be ready. Amen.